Hello, my friends. Come on in to the Art of Discipline workshop. Are you as excited as I am to talk about discipline? I hope you said yes. So many women tell me, like, Tanya, I need to be more disciplined. Then women tell me, I hate the word discipline. But my intention for you by the end of this workshop is that number one, you fall in love with the idea of being disciplined and that you know how to use it for you, not against you. So as you are coming in, feel free to introduce yourself and tell us where you're joining us from. Hi, Janet. Welcome, welcome. Barbara, Janelle, Sarah. Welcome, ladies. There's so many of you on the call. I'm super excited about this. Yeah, so before we jump in, just I want to share a little bit about myself in terms of my relationship with the discipline, because it hasn't always been so loving, trust me. So first of all, my name is Tanya Lee. I am the founder of French Kiss Life, which is all about living artfully and well. And I believe one of the secret ingredients to living artfully and well is self-discipline. But it was a word that I rejected for so long. And it made sense why I rejected it, just like it makes sense as to why you may reject discipline. So for me, I grew up in a very strict religious home. So discipline was something that was often used to punish me. And it also required that I ignore my soul and my own self-expression in order to live in accordance with someone else's rules. And so as I got older and I began to leave the flock, so to speak, what I noticed is that I swung in the opposite direction, where I rejected and rebelled against discipline. And I started living as what my mentor, Martha Beck, would say, as the wild child. So the wild child part of you is that part that rejects the rules and the regulations that feel constrictive, that make you feel like you are having to give up a part of yourself. And oftentimes, we can create a lot of chaos in our lives because in that process, you're also giving up on your dreams and your desires because you're reacting to old beliefs, old experiences. And so for me, there were many years where I was the wild child. I didn't want to look at money. I didn't want to be told what to eat. I was just like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And as a result, I created a lot of negative consequences in my life. I was overweight. I struggled with my finances. I struggled with relationships. Life just felt like one big struggle. And then what would happen is I would see these consequences start to pile up, and I'd be like, you got to discipline yourself. And then I would swing into what Martha calls the dictator. So this is the part of you that comes into the situation and starts beating yourself up and telling yourself things like, you're fat, you're lazy, you need to get your act together, you are going broke, how dare you spend that kind of money. It's a very fearful response to the wild child behaviors. And so a lot of times when I'm coaching clients, they've confused dictator with self-discipline that's born out of love. And that's what I want to introduce you to today in this workshop. Because here's the beautiful thing. If you think about the wild child and you think about the dictator, there is a part of you that can watch the two. And to me, that is the part that we need to be operating from. I like to call that part my higher self. It's the part of me that wants discipline out of a place of love, out of a place of excitement, out of a place of possibility. It's not being used to beat me up. It's being used to support my dreams and to support the woman I want to be. So I just realized this is my favorite coffee cup right now. And to me, this is my higher self. This is the self-disciplined part of me that loves me so much that she supports me in showing up for myself and following through on what I say I want. So, with that said, I want to hear from you based on your experience with discipline, what is the first word that comes up for you? What is the feeling that you have when I mention the word discipline? Drudgery, panic. Okay, panic. That's an interesting one. Disappointment, hard, frustrating. Okay, so here's what I want you to understand, and you all, as you work with me more, you'll understand my coaching philosophy. But the reason why you ever feel anything is because of thoughts in your head. And I also want you to know about the pleasure pain principle. So we as human beings are wired to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. So if you have framed discipline as a painful experience, I promise you, you will not be disciplined. And it's not because there's anything wrong with you, because there's nothing wrong with you, but it's simply because you are wired to avoid what is painful. So if you see discipline as a painful experience, you will reject it time and time again. But here is the good news. You also get to decide what you link pleasure to and what you link pain to. And so by the end of this workshop, I hope that you are linking so much pleasure to discipline that you cannot wait to be a woman that shows up for herself. So I want to share with you some of the reasons why I love discipline. So number one, discipline allows you to relax more. Think about this. Let's take someone who has a good relationship with money. They're very disciplined around their money. They probably have very good thoughts about money, so that helps them relax about money. But they also show up and they take a look at their money every week, maybe every day. They know how much they have. They know how much is coming in. They know how much they're going to make. They know what they value and how they want to invest their money. And so because they are disciplined with their money, they're more relaxed around their money. Now, think of someone who's not disciplined around money. They don't look at it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They want to pretend it's not there. They have very, very negative thoughts around money, which makes them feel anxious around money. They have a very undisciplined relationship with money. So when you embrace discipline, you begin to relax more in your life because you know that you're going to show up for what you say you want. You know that you're going to stay on top of things. You know you're not going to disappoint yourself. So therefore, you get to relax more in your everyday life. The second reason why I love discipline is because I get to feel proud of myself. And I think as women, this is one of the most amazing emotions you could ever practice for yourself. Because I know that so many of you are very accustomed to feeling disappointed in yourself. And that's got to change. I want you to be a woman that feels proud of yourself. And you feel proud of yourself by thinking positive thoughts about yourself and then showing up and doing things that align with what it is that you say that you want. You get to go to bed at night realizing, I showed up for myself today. And there is no better feeling than that. And then it begins to spill over into all the areas of your life. So that's another reason why I personally love discipline. Also, life becomes easier when you are a disciplined person. You don't feel out of control. You're not constantly disappointing yourself. And because of that, as a result, life really does become easier. I think about children. Have you ever been around a child that has no discipline and they're just like wild children running through the house? Versus the child that is disciplined, that knows the rules, that knows what is allowed and what's not allowed, they're a joy to be around. Versus the child that's never been disciplined, knows no rules. And I feel like that's how it is with the relationship with ourselves. If we have no rules for ourselves and we're just running around like wild children, we're not fun to be with ourselves versus when we know what the rules are that we've created for ourselves and we're following them, then we get to enjoy our own company. And that is another reason why I love practicing discipline in my everyday life. Let's see what else here. Oh, you create results. When you are disciplined enough to manage your mind and your actions, you create amazing results in your life. And that's why you're here. There is something that you want to create that you don't yet have, and it is going to require that you become disciplined. So when it comes to discipline, discipline begins in the mind. Oftentimes what we try to do and why we have such a hard time creating change is we try to be disciplined with our actions from a place of fear, from a place of not enoughness. And you cannot take enough action to prove that you're enough. Trust me, I've tried. I remember I lost so much weight. I starved myself down to a size 2. And the whole time I thought, if I can just get skinny, then I'm going to be happy. And then I got really skinny and I was miserable. And I realized that what we are always after is a feeling, and things outside of us cannot give us the feeling that we want. We create our emotions through the thoughts that we think. Now, here's the thing. Our thoughts create how we feel, and how we feel drives what we do or what we don't do. So instead of trying to change your action, it makes sense to start changing your thoughts first. Changing your thoughts to create new feelings to drive new actions. And that is why discipline begins in the mind. Your women will come to me and they'll say, I'm so overwhelmed. And they'll tell me, I've got this to-do list. I always get most of it done, but then the next day I wake up and there's more to do. And that is the result of an undisciplined mind. Because here's the thing, you're always gonna have things to do. As my friend says, when you're done, you're dead, right? But what you're actually after is peace and calm. And yeah, you wanna be productive and focused, but saying things to yourself, I don't have enough time, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm never gonna get it all done, I'm gonna disappoint people, that is the cause of your overwhelm. It has nothing to do with anything outside of you. So the discipline that I'm going to be teaching you is going to start in your mind. You're going to have to think on purpose. You're going to have to think in alignment with what it is that you want. And you're going to have to think in ways to drive new actions. So what I want us to do now is take a look at your workbook. And I'm actually run you through all of the questions, my friends. Let me just see here. Give me just a second. Oh, someone just asked me, they said, but Tanya, you believe in ease. And yes, I absolutely do. And if we're all really, really honest with ourselves, is it easy to not show up for yourself? Is it easy to disappoint yourself day after day? To create something you've never had, you're gonna have to become someone you've never been. You'll hear me say that many, many times. And that is uncomfortable. The mind loves the familiar. It loves to hang on to what it knows. And so anytime you go to create change, it is going to be uncomfortable. But you know what else is uncomfortable? Staying where you are. The only difference is it's a familiar discomfort. So the brain wants to keep you there and it's gonna tell you all the things. It's going to tell you how hard it is, how it's not possible, anything to keep you in the cave so you don't have to go out there in the real world where everything that you want lives. And so I do believe in ease. And to me, ease is all about aligning my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions with what it is that I want to create. That is what feels like ease. It does not feel like ease to say I want something and then not to show up for it. It does not feel like ease to disappoint myself day after day after day. You know, the way I like to say it to clients is that you're uncomfortable where you are right now, but it's a familiar discomfort. Then to create something else, it's going to be uncomfortable as well. And the problem with it is that that is an unfamiliar discomfort. But which flavor of discomfort do you want to taste, my friend? I want to challenge you to taste the discomfort of your future, the unfamiliar discomfort, because that's going to be the only way that you can create what it is that you want. And that is going to require discipline of your mind, which then drives how you feel and how you show up. So great, great question. Let me see if there are any other questions that have come in. I find that I'm disciplined with other people, but not with myself. So I'm assuming what you mean by that is that you're disciplined in showing up for other people, but not yourself. And this is very, very common. What I want you to ask yourself is why. What thoughts do you have in your head about showing up for other people? And then what thoughts in your head do you have about showing up for yourself? That's going to be very telling as to why you do it over in this area of your life and that you don't do it when it comes to your own dreams and your goals. Remember, your thoughts are driving everything, everything. So here's a really good question by Tammy. She asks, Tanya, why is discipline so hard? I've been trying to lose weight for 10 years and keep it off, but I keep losing the weight, gaining it back, losing it, gaining it back. Why do I keep self-sabotaging? That's a good question, Tammy. So first of all, change is hard. And to create lasting change, you can't just take action. You're always going to come back to who you believe yourself to be. So right now, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you have this story about who you are, that you self-sabotage, that your weight is up and down, up and down. And notice how good you are at proving that true. This is why discipline starts in the mind. This is why all the action in the world will not give you the lasting results, because you will always come back to who you believe yourself to be. And so as you are showing up as a disciplined woman, you're gonna have to think in a disciplined way over and over until that is who you become. So the way I like to think about it is think, do, become. You think something long enough, you do something to reinforce that thinking, and eventually you become it. It's like driving a car, right? Do you all remember when you started driver's ed? How it was so awkward to be in the car. You had to really think about the gear shifts and the stop signs and all the things that were happening around you. But you did it over and over, and you did it long enough till you just became a driver. For those of you who drive and you've been driving for years, do you really have to think about it? Like, it's crazy. Like, we're on the road. We could potentially hurt ourselves or hurt other people. And yet we don't really have to put a lot of effort into thinking about how to drive. It's we've trained our mind and bodies to be a driver. I want you to train your mind and body to be a disciplined woman. And that's by being disciplined with your mind first and foremost, and then letting your actions come from that place. And this is going to become more and more clear as we go throughout the workshop, but great question, Tammy. And what I can say is if self-sabotage is familiar to you right now, so can self-discipline, being proud of yourself. Whatever you practice the most is what you're getting the best at. And my hunch is that you've just practiced self-sabotage long enough that you're really good at it. But you can also practice something else, which is why I love the concept of discipline, because it is the discipline to practice new things, starting with new thoughts in your head. So, okay, let's see where we are in the outline. You all, one of the things that you'll understand about me is that I am very good at just off the cuff, and I've learned to honor that about myself. I have an outline, but I also follow the energy of what I feel it is that you need. And so if I need to go off the outline, I will. Because at the end of the day, life is all about energy, and I've learned to trust that. Okay, so let's open up your workbook, and I'm just going to walk you through every single question, and at the end, you are going to make a commitment to yourself. Super fun. So the first part of the workbook is just for you to have an understanding of what your current relationship with discipline is like. Because remember, you are wired to pursue pleasure and to avoid pain. So if you want to live a more disciplined life, you're going to have to frame it as a more pleasurable experience. But first, we need to know what you're currently feeling. So when you think of the word discipline, what is the feeling or the feelings that come up for you? Now remember, a feeling will always be one word. It's going to be anxious, sad, frustrated, disappointed. For me, I remember feeling like shackled. I remember feeling deprivation. I remember feeling frustration when I would think about being more disciplined. Now, here's the thing. Discipline in and of itself, the concept is neutral. It only creates a feeling within you when you attach thoughts to it. So I was attaching very painful thoughts to create a feeling of deprivation, shackled frustration. Things like, I won't be able to enjoy my life as much. Life will be boring. I won't have as much freedom. All of those types of thoughts were causing me to feel very negative emotions towards discipline, which made me not want to embrace it, which caused a lot of chaos in my life, right? So I want you to think about what your thoughts are that's creating the feeling that you have towards discipline. Then I want you to think about areas of your life that you already practice discipline. Because here's what I know. There are areas in your life that you are disciplined. And chances are those areas have a lot of ease and not a lot of drama because you're disciplined in them. And if you tell me that you're not disciplined in anything, I'm not going to believe you, because everybody practices discipline on some level. Even think about the act of brushing your teeth every day. That is a discipline. And you've probably done it so much that it's a habit you don't even have to think about. So think about what areas of your life that you are already disciplined in. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's with your kids, getting them to their after school activities. Maybe it's around your hygiene. Maybe it's around your finances. But notice what areas of life you're already disciplined in and think about what the result of that discipline is. Again, chances are those areas probably have a sense of ease. There's not chaos. It's a good area because you practice discipline. And then I want you to think about the areas of your life you do not practice discipline and to be really honest with what the results are. So maybe you are not disciplined around your money. You overspend, you don't look at your bank account, and as a result, it feels very overwhelming. There's a lot of scarcity and fear. And the crazy thing is when you're feeling scarcity and fear, it makes you not want to look at it. It makes you not want to be disciplined in the area. But you're going to have to embrace discipline as the key to your freedom in this area of your life. Maybe you don't practice discipline around your health and your wellness. And when you're doing this, it's so important that you do not beat yourself up, right? This is like the first discipline that I want you all to practice. Not beating yourself up. You can never beat yourself up enough to get the results that you want in your life. You can get the result, but you're going to be miserable. And the real result that you're all after is to feel better. So beating yourself up, number one, feels terrible. It doesn't allow you to build a good relationship with yourself. And when you don't have a good relationship with yourself, you don't get to know yourself. You don't get to know what motivates you, what drives you. And therefore, you can't create lasting change in your life. So promise me, pinky swear, no beating yourself up. So here's the next question. How would you rather feel about discipline? When you think of the word discipline, what emotion would you rather have? For me, I remember wanting to be excited about discipline. And it happened for me when I was in France and I looked around at the women that I was observing and I realized these women are very disciplined. And I started to be excited because I realized, wow, if I live a more disciplined life, I'll be able to create similar results for myself. I'll feel more confident, I will show up differently, I'll be able to lose the weight, I'll be able to create things that I've always wanted to create. And so I've reframed discipline as the key to my freedom. And that was something that inspired me to embrace it on a daily basis. I got excited about becoming a disciplined woman because of how I would get to feel about myself, the results that I would get to create in my life, who I would have to become. And I also, in a crazy way, hear me out, I got comfortable with discomfort. Here's the thing. Everything that you want and don't yet have, you're going to have to create, you're going to have to be someone you've never been, and you have to do things you've never done, and that is going to be uncomfortable. So as long as you're afraid of feeling discomfort, you're probably not going to show up for what it is that you want. But I started to have this relationship with myself that when I felt discomfort, I knew I was onto something. I knew it was an opportunity to grow, to evolve, to create new things. And so I started to frame discomfort as something that was fun and exciting, just like I did with discipline. So the next part of your workbook is your big desire. I'm going to take a little sip. I want you to think about something you want to create in your life. Just one thing. Do not be confused. Do not tell me you don't know. And we're going to talk about this more later in my program. But the best way to stay stuck in your life is to pretend to be confused. The best way to stay stuck is to keep telling yourself you don't know. I want you to be a woman that practices knowing, that practices making decision. I hear this all of the time, but Tanya, what if it's the wrong decision? What if I should have chosen this and not that? And what you end up doing is sitting in decision paralysis and not doing anything. We want to get the momentum of your life going. And the thing is, when you start thinking about it in terms of who you get to be versus the result you're trying to create, you draw the result to you, but you fall in love with the daily practice. And for that reason, just choose anything. And here's the other thing, allow yourself to want what you want without apology. If you want to be a millionaire, want it and want it fully. Do not say, I want to be a millionaire, but oh my God, what will people think? Oh, maybe I'm being too much. Want what you want. How can the universe give you what you want if you're not being honest about what you want? The only thing that matters is that you like your reason for wanting it. Now, if you're wanting to be a millionaire because you want to feel enough, I would say feel enough and then become a millionaire. And you may find that you don't like that reason. You may be like, oh, that's not a good enough reason for me. And you may decide that you want something else. If you want to lose weight just because you want to fit in that size 6 dress and feel beautiful and you like your reason, rock on. But if you're wanting to lose weight because your mother keeps giving you a hard time about your weight, you may not like that reason. I want you to be a woman that wants what you want unapologetically, and you like your reason for wanting it. So pick something, pick anything. What is something that you want to create in your life? And then how will you know that you've created it? Now, this seems like a simple question, but so many women will come to me and they're like, Tanya, I want to create success in my life. And I'll ask them, well, what does that look like for you? And they can't answer it. Or I want to be healthy. And I'll say, okay, so how will you know when you've created health? And they will not be able to tell me. So it's like you're setting yourself up for failure because you don't even know what you're trying to achieve. So I want you to be very clear about how will you know when you've created it in your life. So let's say, for example, you want to create a healthy body. You will know you will have created it when you weigh 150 pounds, your energy level is an 8 out of a 10, and you really feel strong and fit, right? Those are more measurable than just, I want to be healthy. So here's the other question, super important. Why do you want to create it? Your why is your emotional fuel. A lot of times, the reason why it's so hard for us to practice discipline is we're trying to be disciplined in an area that we have no interest in being disciplined in. And I've seen this a lot with women around weight. They'll come to me and they're like, I want to lose weight. And when I ask them why, it's a reason that doesn't inspire them. You've got to create a big why around whatever it is that you want to create, because that's going to be what drives you to get up in the morning and go for the 5 a.m. walk. It's going to be what inspires you to publish the blog post, even though you're afraid that everybody's going to hate it. You've got to have a strong and big why to inspire you to show up for what it is that you say that you want. So decide, what is your why? Why do you want to create this in your life? Then we're going to get to do one of my favorite things. We're going to look into the future. Too many of you all are spending too much time in the past. I am very much about savoring and enjoying this present moment and being excited about the future. I talk very little about the past unless I'm doing it as a teaching moment, but in my day-to-day life, my friends will tell you, I'm not past focused. I'm like, that's done. Like, why are we still harping on something that happened even yesterday? Willie Nelson, there was an article about him in the Rolling Stones magazine, and he said his life philosophy has always been delete, fast forward. My friend sent me the article the other day, and she was like, you and Willie have the same life philosophy. And some people will say to me, you know, you're spiritually bypassing. Here's what I know. Stuff will come up that needs to be healed, but I don't need to go look for stuff to come up, right? My philosophy is it's done. Let's move on. Now, if I'm triggered and I get triggered, then I know I need to heal something. But in the meantime, I'm not going to look for reasons to feel bad. And a lot of times we're looking to the past for reasons to feel bad. And it's so useless. Everything you want is in this moment, and it's being driven by a vision of your future. And that's why we need to look towards the future to give you the information that will help you create what it is that you want to create. Okay, let me step off of that soapbox. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look into the future and think about what it is that you desire to create in your life, and imagine it's already done. You've already created it. And I want you to notice how you feel. Thinking about it already being done, you're already there, it's already created. How do you feel? Do you feel successful? Do you feel accomplished? Do you feel proud? Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel joyful? Do you feel abundant? Do you feel sexy? Do you feel powerful? Do you feel elated, excited, passionate? When it's already done, how do you feel? Here's the secret, my friend, and this is where discipline comes in. The reason why we want anything is because of the feeling that we think we'll have in the gaining of it. Hear me out. The reason why we want anything is because of the feeling that we think we will get or have when we get that thing. Now, what creates your feelings? Right up here, your thoughts. Which means you do not have to wait until you've lost 10 pounds to feel beautiful. You do not have to wait until you have $1 million in the bank account to feel abundant. I've seen women lose weight and not feel beautiful. I know people who have millions in the bank and they don't feel abundant. They feel scarcity all the time. I want you to be disciplined in creating how you want to feel now, not one day when. And I'll tell you why in a second. But anyway, how do you feel in the future, imagining that version of yourself that's already created what it is that you want to create? How do you feel? Then I want you to notice, how do you think? So let's say, for example, you've lost weight, you're feeling powerful, you're feeling confident, whatever it is that you want to feel. How are you thinking? Are you thinking, oh my God, I can't control myself. Oh my God, I'll never lose the weight. No, because you've already lost the weight, right? You're probably thinking, I love my body. I love taking care of my body. It's enjoyable to eat delicious foods in moderate amounts. I love my life. I love who I've become. You're thinking very differently than you're probably thinking right now. I also want you to notice how you show up differently. When you imagine that version of yourself that's already created, hold on, I got dry lips, that's already created what it is that you want to create, when you imagine her, how do you show up differently? Maybe you are more poised. Maybe you are more bold. Maybe you're dressing up every single day. Maybe you're out socializing. How do you imagine yourself to be then, when you've already created what it is that you want to create? Then think about how your life is different. How is your life different once you've created what it is that you want to create? Now, the reason why I do that exercise, as you're going to learn, the secret to creating your life is to embody the woman who has everything that you want. And this is hard because the brain's going to try to convince you that you shouldn't think that way and feel that way because you don't have the evidence of it yet. But you must be willing to imagine a future that you don't yet have and think on purpose and feel on purpose to create it. You're not going to create health by focusing on a lack of health. You're not going to create abundance by walking around telling yourself why you're broke and how you're broke and how you're never going to have enough. So I want you to define what is the feeling that you think you will have one day when, and begin to practice the thoughts to create that feeling now. That is where the discipline comes in. Now, you're going to learn it's hard to go from I am broke to I'm a millionaire, especially if you're looking at your bank account and it's giving you all of the evidence as to why that's not true. But here's the thing. In your mind, you could imagine being a millionaire and be thinking like a millionaire, but it's so hard because you're looking at what is based on old thinking. Sorry about that. Something just popped up. So where was I? I just lost my train of thought based on old thinking. Yeah. So everything you've created to this point is based on old thoughts and old feelings and old states of being. So to create something new, you're going to have to practice feeling a little bit better, thinking different thoughts, taking a little bit different action, and over time, you will create a whole new experience full of evidence for what you've been practicing. So really pay attention to what it is that you think you'll feel one day, and how can you begin to move towards that now? That is the discipline of the mind. And that is where you get to create freedom for yourself. Because remember, the reason why you want anything is because of the way you think it'll make you feel. You can begin to create what you really want in this moment right now. You don't have to wait until some outside result. And the crazy thing is, as you begin to practice that, you begin to show up different, you begin to take different actions, and you begin to draw those results to you. That's what happened with me with weight loss. I kept saying, well, one day when I've lost weight, then I'll feel good about myself. One day when, you know, I can wear a size 6 dress, I'll take care of how I look. So I was keeping myself in a very negative state all of the time, delaying feeling good. And therefore, I was taking actions that reinforced a negative state of being. But when I decided to start practicing feeling good today, what I noticed is that I started to take better feeling actions and I started to create better results in my life. Okay, so now we're going to talk about raising your standards. I also call this your red velvet rope policy, but this is basically what you accept into your life. And this has to start with your own behavior. A lot of times women will say to me, well, I'm not going to accept negativity into my life. But then when they look into their own mind, they're the most negative, right? So let's start with you. What behaviors do you need to raise? What thoughts do you need to raise? What emotional vibration do you need to raise in order to create your desired result? This is where the discipline comes in. This is where you just can't let your mind live on default. You just can't allow yourself to keep reacting to your life if you want your life to change. And this is why I always say discipline starts in the mind. It is noticing what you're thinking and asking yourself, does this serve me? Does this create a better feeling? Does this drive a better action? Or is this more of the old and more of the same? So we're going to be talking about raising your own personal standards. So when you think about the desired outcome you want to create, what daily habits do you need to practice? Maybe you need to show up for the walks that you promise you're going to do every day. Maybe you need to take a look at your money. Maybe not every day, but every week. Maybe you need to get in the habit of writing or journaling every morning. Maybe the daily habit is just gratitude, or really what you're going to find is the daily habit will always come down to you managing your mind. But think about the actions that you want to be taking in your everyday life. And then you need to ask yourself, what emotion do you need to practice to drive that action? So, for example, let's say your desired daily habits are, we'll work with one, that you want to cut out sugar. You know, sugar is sabotaging your weight loss desire, and you know the daily habit is to practice not indulging in sugar. So what emotion do you need to practice to drive that action? Maybe it's determination. Maybe it's excitement. Even though it's going to be super uncomfortable when you imagine a woman who's not addicted to sugar and you really believe in the possibility of it, maybe it excites you. So decide, what emotion do I need to practice to drive this action that I want to take in my daily life? Then what do I need to think to create that emotion? So if your emotion is determination, maybe the thought is, I'm a woman who shows up no matter what. I'm going to prove to myself that I can follow through, that I can feel discomfort, that I can do what I say I'm going to do. And as you practice that, you're going to feel more and more determined. So, what habits do you want to create? What do you need to feel to show up for those habits? And then what do you need to think to create that emotion? Okay, now you're going to choose one tiny habit. You see, we get into this toxic pattern of all or nothing thinking. It's like, I want to do all the things all at the same time. I want to go to the gym for 2 hours, you know, cut my calories back to 1,000 calories per day. It's like we put ourselves in such extremes that no wonder our brain rejects it. Our brain's like, nope, like that's way too much at one time. And we discount the power of tiny daily actions. When I think about the results that I've created in my life, what I can tell you, it has not been the, you know, one-shot wonders, my friends. It has been the tiny habits that in the moment didn't really seem to move the needle of my life. But I did them because I wanted to feel proud of myself in that moment. And I knew the power of the compound effect, which means over time, little tiny actions add up to big results in your life. So I want you to think about your desire, what it is that you want to create. And I just want you to choose one tiny habit that you will commit to practicing so that you can prove to yourself that you are a disciplined woman. Because again, you're already disciplined in some areas of your life. I just want you to be disciplined in the areas that's going to move your life forward, that's going to help you create what it is that you want to create. So what one tiny habit will you practice in order to practice the art of discipline? And then I want you to think about the compound effect of this tiny habit over the course of 6 months. So what do you think if the tiny habit that you want to create is that you want to walk 1 mile every single day? Now, in the moment, you're not going to want to do it. Your mind's going to give you all of the reasons why you shouldn't. But remember, I want you to fall in love with discipline because of how you get to feel. But also in the moment, a mile may seem like nothing, right? You walk a mile, you don't instantly lose weight. You walk a mile, you don't instantly get a burst of energy. Maybe you do, but chances are if you haven't been walking on a regular basis, walking a mile in the moment is not going to move the needle of your life that much. But imagine walking a mile every day for 6 months. What you're going to find is that maybe your 1 mile turns to 3 miles, 4 miles, maybe you start running because you're building momentum. But even if you just walk a mile every day for 6 months, imagine how you're going to feel about yourself. Imagine how your body will start to change, how much more energy you're going to have. That is the power of the compound effect. You know, you think about people that want to write a book and they're like, I don't have time. And I'm like, just write one page a day. In 365 days, you will have 365 pages, which will equal a book, right? But in the moment, writing one page doesn't seem like that much. But I want you to be disciplined with one tiny thing, if nothing else, to prove to yourself that you can do it, that you can follow through, that you can practice discipline in an area that right now may feel really, really hard. And this goes back to like raising your standards. I just got to a point with my life where I was like, I'm gonna be a woman that shows up for myself. I am sick and tired of being disappointed in myself. And some of the standards that I raised is that I'm no longer a woman that beats myself up. I show up for what I say I'm going to do. One of the standards I have is I don't hold myself to some ideal perfection. It's not about perfection. It's just about showing up, as evidenced by this workshop, right? It's not perfect, but I'm not here to be perfect. I'm here to be an example of what's possible, even if you're imperfect. So those are some of the standards that I've raised for my life. But at the end of the day, discipline comes back to your thinking. It really is the discipline to be free. There's a great quote. Let me see if I can find it. It's by the Dalai Lama. He says, "A disciplined mind leads to happiness, and an undisciplined mind leads to suffering." It really does start in your mind about what you're thinking. And does this serve you? Does it make you feel powerful? Does it make you feel alive? Does it make you feel full of joy? Does it make you feel confident? And if it doesn't, you need to let that rope go, because it's going to lead to a lot of suffering. And as you begin to practice better feeling thoughts and feeling better, you're automatically going to start taking better action in your life. But then on the flip side, I want you to decide what those actions are that you want to take in your life. And I just want you to choose one tiny habit. And I want you to imagine you are a woman that already has that habit in your life. How does it feel? How does it feel to walk a mile a day and know that you're going to show up no matter what? Then what are you thinking, being that woman who's walking a mile a day? You're probably thinking, I'm not a woman who disappoints myself. I love taking care of my body. I love being healthy and feeling vibrant. Start practicing those thoughts now and feeling that way now to drive you to get out there every morning or every afternoon and walk your 1 mile. So now it's time to make your commitment. And the No, it's not. We got one more thing to do. I totally forgot this part. And we're going to talk about this in the program. But I want you to set yourself up for success, because I want you creating evidence that you are a woman that follows through. You need to let go of these stories that you don't follow through unless you want to continue not following through. When you think about your future self that's already created what she's created, she did not get there by telling herself every day how she doesn't follow through. She got there by practicing believing in her ability to follow through and then following through. That's how she got there. But I also want you to think about other ways to set yourself up for success. And I call these couture conditions. So here's what I mean. We have the ability to shape our environments to support our desired habits. Okay, let me break this down after a little bit of gloss. So if I want to get up every morning and walk a mile, then I could create an environment to support that habit. What that would probably look like is putting my running shoes by my bed and having my clothes ready to go. So first thing in the morning when I wake up, I'm reminded, oh, this is your intention. This is what you said you were going to do. Another way that I practice creating couture conditions is that I create accountability. So an example of this is I already have a program in my mind that I want to create, and I'm already telling people about this program and I'm lining up the dates, who's going to be involved in the project. And by doing that, it's like I'm reverse engineering it. I'm making it so that I have to show up to do it, because I know my mind will try to convince me that I'm not ready yet, that I need another year to do it. And I just know that that's BS. It's not true. But that's what the mind does. It wants to keep you in the cave. It doesn't want you to go out there and create what it is that you want to create because it's unfamiliar. So I like to build in accountability. Now that could be you having a walking partner that meets you every morning. And you know, if you don't show up for yourself, you're not going to be showing up for her. And that might inspire you to show up. Although I would love for you to be the kind of woman that shows up for yourself, but sometimes we need that accountability, right? So I want you to think about how you can set up your environment to create a couture condition that will help you follow through on your habit. Maybe that is you picking out your outfit the night before, if you want to create a habit of dressing up every day. Maybe it's you putting your supplements on the counter. If you want to get in the habit of being a woman that takes her supplements every single day, maybe the couture condition is having an alarm go off on your phone to remind you to practice gratitude, or to set a date in your calendar that a notification pops up on your phone that I'm going to sit down and look at my money today. Create your environment to support your dreams. Maybe it's putting a beautiful flower out because that makes you feel better. And when you feel better, you show up at work better. But how can you create your conditions to support your habit? Okay. And then finally, I want you to create your commitment. And it says, I, fill in the blank with your name, commit to practicing discipline in order to create and insert your big desire. I will practice it by, insert your tiny habit, for the next 30 days because, and then insert your why. So for example, I, Tanya, excuse me, commit to practicing discipline in order to create vibrant health. I will practice by taking my supplements every day for the next 30 days because my why is to be an example of what is possible. And I know that in order to be an example of what is possible, I need to be healthy. I need to take good care of myself. So that's just one example. So write out your commitment. I, name, commit to practicing discipline in order to create your big desire. I will practice it by, insert your tiny habit, for the next 30 days because, and then what is your why? Okay, so now that you've made your commitment, I want to take some questions. So let me know if you have any questions around the art of discipline. I have my computer here, so. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. I want to have more fun in my life, but you're saying I need more discipline. I'm confused. Don't be confused. Here's the thing. Even fun requires discipline. Remember, discipline is just you training your mind and your body to show up for what it is that you want. This is why I'm so upset with how our world has trained us, because we have had discipline used against us. I remember when I was growing up, anything fun was a sin. So through discipline, I was not allowed to go to dances or to go to movies. And so that's why I had such a negative relationship with discipline. But when you think about it in terms of it's just you deciding what it is that you want and aligning your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions with it, then you can insert anything into what it is that you want to practice discipline around to create more of it in your life. Even pleasure requires discipline. You know, I think about my clients who work all of the time and they'll tell me, like, I'm disciplined, I get a lot done. But where they're not disciplined is in creating more pleasure in their life. So if fun is something that is unfamiliar to you, you're going to need to practice discipline in order to create more of it in your life. So maybe the discipline is to step away from work and schedule dates with friends, or to try new things, or to go to concerts, whatever it is that you want to practice incorporating to create more fun in your life, but it will require discipline. So no need to be confused. Again, anything that you want and you don't yet have, it's going to require that you practice discipline in order to create it. Okay, this question is from Lori, and she says, I'm realizing that my lack of discipline is around making decisions. I can't choose one thing to focus on. I want it all, and I want it now. So again, you can insert anything in the area that you want to practice discipline around. And for you, Lori, it's around making decisions. So I want you to think about what your fear is in making a decision. What is the story that you have? Maybe it's I'll choose the wrong thing. Maybe it won't work out. If I don't do it all now, I'll never get it all done, right? So we all have these stories around things in our life that inspire us to do it or to not do it. So right now you have a story around making decisions that makes it very hard for you to make a decision. I want you to practice just making decisions. It really is that simple. And it's going to be so uncomfortable because your brain is going to tell you you're choosing the wrong thing. you are going to make a mistake. And that's what keeps us from being decisive. But when you think about the discipline of making decisions, what do you need to think? You probably need to think things like, decisions will help me get momentum going in my life. I am practicing becoming a decisive woman. I'm going to practice believing in my decisions. You know, I tell my clients all the time, the most important decision is the decision after the decision, meaning when you make a decision, decide how you're going to feel about it. When I make a decision, I do not second guess myself. I don't go around the whole should I've done this, should I've done that, because it just creates misery. It creates suffering. When I decide something, I'm like, this is my decision, and I'm going to decide to feel good about it. And that way I release all of my creative energy to follow through on the decision that I made. And that is a practice. So I want you to practice making decisions, everything from where do you want to go to dinner? Just decide. This is where we're going. Practice deciding what it is that you want. The best way to stay where you are is to make no decisions at all. The way to get to where you want to be is to start making decisions. So your discipline is going to be around thinking as a decisive woman, feeling like a decisive woman, and therefore making decisions. Okay, next question is, I have a story that discipline has created hardship in my life. For example, I'm an attorney and I work 80 hours a week because I'm disciplined. But my self-care has been put on the back burner. So I guess what I'm saying is that discipline has cost me my own health. That is not true, my friend. Don't blame discipline for a lack of your own health. This is where, when I was saying earlier, like, we get to decide the meaning we give to everything. Now, the good news is that you know how to be disciplined in the area of work. Right? This is good news. What thoughts create your discipline around work? Now, the practice is looking at why you're not practicing discipline around your self-care. Just like I was saying to the earlier lady who had asked about, we were talking about pleasure or fun. Fun requires discipline. Pleasure requires discipline. Self-care requires discipline. So what do you need to think about your own self-care that will inspire you to show up for it? How can you link pain with not showing up for your self-care and pleasure to showing up for your self-care? And I would challenge you to think about how you will feel, how your life will be different if you're a woman who's taking exquisite care of yourself. Think about what the end result will be. What will the compound effect be of the little daily actions that you can take that put you into consideration in your daily life? But I don't want you to blame discipline for your lack of self-care. Just because you practice discipline in one area, don't blame that area for not having what you want over here. Just decide what you want over here and what do you need to think, what do you need to feel, and then what do you need to do to create that? I hope that helped. Okay, next question is, Tanya, can you break down your process for how you get things done? My process is so simple, you all. Seriously. Like, when I have a goal or something that I want to create, as I asked you to do, I just write down all of the things that I think I need to do. And then I just schedule them in my calendar. Now, I've trained myself to be a woman that shows up for what I put on my calendar. In fact, that's one of my standards for myself, is that if it's on my calendar, I show up for it. But here's the other thing I want you all to understand, is that oftentimes when I sit down to do something, I'm not feeling it. Like, my brain is telling me, you need to stay in the cave. It's dangerous out there. People are going to judge you. Your work is not that good. It may fail. And I just know that that is mind chatter that is trying to keep me safe, but it does not serve me. And so I plan for that. You know, just when I sat down to do this workshop, you know, I had all the mind chatter and I was like, okay, noted. And we're still showing up and we're still doing it. And that's when you can begin to think on purpose and feel on purpose. Like, I knew when I did this workshop, I wanted to feel confident in what I was teaching. I wanted to feel excited and I wanted to have fun. And so I know this stuff works because it's what I practice in my everyday life. I believe in what I'm doing because I practice believing in what I'm doing. And so by practicing the discipline of the mind and not listening to the mind chatter that doesn't serve me, then, you know, I keep showing up again and again. But the simple process of, you know, getting things done, I decide what I want to get done. I put it in my calendar and then I follow through. So, great question. What about those times that you don't want to follow through because you just don't feel like it? This is my problem. I have big dreams and plans, but when it comes time to actually do something, I don't feel like it and I just want to sit on the sofa and watch Netflix. Okay, here's the thing. And I say this a lot to clients, but you can live your life based on your desire or based on your mood. If you live your life based on your mood, you're not going to create great results because your mood is always changing, right? As I was just saying, there are many times when I sit down to do a podcast or when my brain is telling me, you know what, just go eat something, that'll make you feel better. Knowing it never does, maybe in the moment, but long term it doesn't. And that's when I have to tap into my why and my bigger desire and then start thinking on purpose. Start thinking in a way that will drive me to show up and follow through. And so, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable. And that's what I want you all to embrace. I think anytime we feel discomfort, we think something's gone totally wrong. But the truth is, you're probably feeling discomfort in the area of your life that you want to change. It's just a familiar discomfort. But as you're going to learn in the program, when you are a woman that's willing to feel all of the emotions and not let them stop you, you will create so many amazing things in your life. Because the reason why you often don't show up for what it is that you want is because it requires that you feel discomfort. And so I've just accepted that as part of the discipline of feeling discomfort. And in a crazy way, I have fallen in love with being uncomfortable. It tells me I'm on the right path, right? It's like every time I feel discomfort, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is an opportunity to evolve versus the times in my life when I would feel discomfort and I would want to go eat so I wouldn't have to feel it. Or I would hide. I wouldn't show up for that thing I wanted to do because it was so uncomfortable. Now it's like, which flavor of discomfort do I want? The flavor of being stagnant in life? The familiar discomfort of overeating and beating myself up or not showing up for what I want and then feeling bad about myself, or the discomfort of growth, of feeling the discomfort and doing new things, creating new thoughts, literally becoming a new woman. So I hope that answers your question. Any other questions about discipline? I hope you all will embrace this concept. Oh, hold on. Lisa just said, this is an amazing, amazing workshop. You have filled in so many pieces of the puzzle that have kept me avoiding discomfort, avoiding discipline. And now it's something I'm excited to embrace. Yes. And that is what I want for you. I'm telling you, discipline will change your life. And I want you to practice the kind of discipline that comes from love. You think about a mother that really loves her child. When she disciplines them, it's not because she's punishing them. It's not being done out of fear or anger. It's being done out of love. And unfortunately, I feel like so many women have never had that kind of relationship with a mom. But if you think about a loving mother, and you know, maybe you're going to have to imagine what that's like if you never had that experience. But as an adult woman, you get to be that for yourself. Right? You get to love yourself so much that you only want the best for yourself. And therefore you create the rules that bring out the best in you, that help you create the results that you want to create in your life. Now you may be thinking, well, Tanya, I don't love myself. And what I can tell you is practicing self-love is a discipline as well. And maybe that's where you start, my friend. Maybe you start with, I want to create a discipline around loving myself. Because when you love yourself, you want to show up for yourself. When you love yourself, you want the best for yourself. You don't beat yourself up. You get to understand yourself and get to know yourself. And you're constantly taking action to reinforce that you're a woman of love, of self-love and love of others, as you'll learn in the program. But you know, if you're a woman that you're thinking, I don't love myself, maybe that is where your discipline starts. Because at the end of our lives, you think about it, we come into the world with ourselves and we leave with ourselves. Like, we are the one constant our entire lives. Like, why not make that amazing, that relationship so amazing that you just love being around yourself? You love showing up for yourself because there's so much love for yourself. And so even if you're sitting there thinking, Tanya, this sounds great, but I don't love myself enough to be disciplined, that's where your discipline starts, my friend. Love is a choice. It's something that you practice every single day. And if you've practiced not loving yourself, you're probably really good at it. But equally, if you start practicing loving yourself, you will become good at that too. So with that said, thank you all so, so much for being on this workshop. I'm super excited for you to embrace discipline and to experience the amazing magic that happens in your life when you embrace the kind of discipline I was talking about, the one out of love for yourself and the one that will help you create amazing, amazing results in your life. Take care and have a beautiful day. Go out there and practice your habit, and I look forward to seeing you in the program.